It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Inside Sources. Welcome back to Inside Sources here on KSL News Radio. It's great to be with you today. I am Boyd Matheson. We've been talking about Utah's unique place in the global economy, especially coming out of the pandemic and being uniquely positioned to lead out in so many different ways. And one of the areas that a lot of people still don't quite understand what it is or what it means is the inland port and what that could mean in terms of Utah really being a crossroads to the world in so many ways. And we're pleased to have Jill Fleiger joining us. She is the Chief Operating Officer at Utah Inland Port Authority. And there was a great announcement coming out today. Jill, thanks for joining us and tell us about this deal with the Port of Oakland.
Thank you, Boyd, and it's a pleasure to be with you today. We are really excited about the announcement with the Port of Oakland. It is one of 16 agreements that the Port Authority has signed over the last year or so with a variety of entities. We have signed agreements with Rocky Mountain Power, Dominion Energy, an entity known as Secure Space for truck parking, and also Savage Services, among others. But this is the first agreement that we have with another port, and especially along the West Coast that many know there's a lot of congestion along the West Coast. And this is the first step in establishing Utah as a transformational location in trade logistics and shifting trade patterns in the Western United States. The goal of this agreement really is to create efficiency in the system and is really focused on three main areas. One is reducing congestion, as I mentioned earlier, on the West Coast, which in turn reduces costs for our shippers, but ultimately costs for all of us. Second, optimizing infrastructure on and near dock, and in the long term, really building out the corridor between the West Coast and Utah. And three, improving velocity of throughput to and from Utah. Ultimately, partnerships like this create connections within the logistics system to begin to open up the state of Utah, really to optimize imports, but also increasing our exporting capacity.
Yeah, so important. And I love the fact that part of this, of course, the Port of Oakland is a lot of the big containerized cargo, you know, big things that we think about when we think of that shipping and trade coming in. And so that's a great thing. And I also love that part of this agreement is also an environmental commitment as well. Tell us about that.
Yeah. I think from the very beginning, some of your listeners might be aware that the Port Authority has really been committed to next generation logistics, including investments in innovative and new technologies. And this just continues that commitment. We are working with Utah State University and the Aspire Center on electrification. A collaboration is also in conjunction with Rocky Mountain Power and their EV charging. We also have commitments with Dominion Energy and their LNG and RNG. And all of this is looking to long-term sustainable solutions for the state, connecting logistics to and from the West Coast, but also really looking here at Utah and for our air quality solutions here.
So vital that we move all of those things through. And again, as we look at Utah being this really interesting hub and this great economy rolling along, what does this mean in terms of the state overall? I know this is not just a Salt Lake City issue. There are impacts that will deal with our rural communities as well.
Absolutely. The Port Authority really does look at systems. We're taking a systems approach that is looking at statewide. And really, if we look at the purpose of the Port Authority, we are laying a foundation, really building out key infrastructure and making strategic investments, in places and projects that really have benefits beyond immediate returns. And when I say that, don't take it wrong. We really look for business cases. We want returns. But the thing about the Port Authority is that we look also at externalities that private investors may not be able to pencil. But if the state and the Port Authority can look at investments in projects where we're helping to advance the flow and velocity. The questions we ask is, what will be those ripple effects? How can we get a project maybe unstuck that keep goods moving and flowing across our state? And those are things that we look at holistically and across the system. And that takes a systems approach. And so we look statewide. We look for strategic and surgical investments where when we put our dollars in, it makes a much bigger and broader impact across our state.
Yeah, if you're just joining us, we have the Inland Port Authority Chief Operating Officer Jill Flygares joining us. And again, a great announcement today, a big deal with the Port of Oakland. This is an important piece of the puzzle, I think, as the Inland Port continues to move forward. And it will have impact on so many of us, and really the flow of goods and services, and ultimately what those price points are for those goods and services that are flowing through. And just a final thought, Jill, in terms of kind of the average citizen that's out there that probably isn't following the Inland Port as close as some of us who've been watching all the moves take place here, what's the impact going to be in the typical person's life?
That's a really good question. I would say that ultimately, as we begin working with our sister ports on the West Coast, and we are able to make these agreements and, again, begin to reduce the congestion, optimize the infrastructure, and improve the velocity and throughput, we will begin to reduce the cost. We can increase the capacity here within the state of Utah, and increase the exporting out of our state. And again, ultimately, that is a win for the state of Utah because costs begin to come down.
Yeah, fantastic. Jill Flygares, again, Chief Operating Officer, Utah Inland Port Authority. Big deal today. Deal with the Port of Oakland, including some of the environmental components to that, and making sure that this is done and done in an environmentally responsible way, is in addition to being strategic and really delivering benefits to the regions and to the citizens as well. Jill, thanks for joining us today.
Boy, thank you. I appreciate it.
You bet. And again, I think this is one more of those important pieces of the puzzle in terms of Utah being a crossroads to the world. This really does get the import-export component of Utah strategically in place. And I know it's when there's been some debate and there's been some loud arguments for and against, and some dust-ups in terms of some of the hearings and meetings and so on. But this is something that, done properly, will be good for the citizens of the state of Utah. I think it'll be good for the country, as it really does set Utah in this critical space in terms of being able to be this international hub, which is just really fascinating to think about it. But this, again, agreement announced today with the Port of Oakland, and that we'll continue to follow that as we move along today. As we round out hour number one of the program, you want to stay with us. Coming up in hour number two, we're going to focus, as part of our focus on Mental Health Awareness Month, a fascinating study that just came out today. New study from BYU shows people going through medical treatments have a 29% better chance of survival if they have social support. We're going to talk about what that means, what that is, how it impacts all of us coming up here in hour number two. Much more to come on the expanded Inside Editions here on KSL News Radio. I'm Boyd Matheson. Stay with us. Much more to come.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.